Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests. Ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Welcome to All Paws Pet Talk, and this is Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws. I'm Karen Watts, also known as Karen at PetOfTheDay.com, where Joe's turkey was once Pet of the Day. And...
Hey, that's right.
There is Joe.
That's me. I'm Joe, Country Joe, Joe Barber. And today is our first real live show, right, Karen? This is it. No more recording. So this is going to be fun.
No more cussing in chicken or in turkey or any other poultry language. We're here live on the air right now. And I understand we have our first guest with us already, and this is Craig Russell. And he is the, I understand, newly reelected president of the SPPA. Craig, I will let you tell people what that stands for.
SPPA is the Society for the Preservation of Poultry Antiquities. We're North America's oldest livestock conservation organization. There were some that were founded before us, but they have disappeared. We're still here. After almost 50 years, the SPPA goes back to 1967.
Wow.
And we were set up to save the old historic breeds. Neil Jones was concerned that the old historic types were disappearing, and they were. Prior to... the 60s, there were more than 200 breeds and varieties of poultry in common agricultural use. Today, there are less than a dozen so-called improved types in normal commercial production. However,
and is that just for the U.S. or is that worldwide?
Excuse me?
Is that just for the U.S., those numbers, or is that worldwide pretty much?
Well, the phenomenon is happening all over. It was probably first noticeable here in the U.S. and in Europe, but large commercial operations replacing the traditional family farm have spread pretty much all over the world, even in the... 70s, when I was walking around Asia, I encountered big mass production housing for poultry on the outskirts of Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia and elsewhere, and it has gotten much bigger now. At that time, there were still a lot of small family flocks, but that's kind of disappeared. I think we're seeing a resurgence in that when people want high-quality eggs and that kind of thing for the table, as opposed to cheap, but maybe not so flavorful.
Most of our chickens, I guess, other than the big commercial brands, are really fading away fast, right, Craig? People just aren't raising them anymore. And that's the whole idea behind this society here, is to get people back into this.
I hope you can hear me, because I'm having trouble hearing Joe at the moment. When I first called in, I was talking to a fellow that I could hear very well.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, I was talking about most of the chickens today are on the downside, except for your commercial egg layers and commercial meat chickens. Other than that, all the other chickens are starting to fade away now. Isn't that true?
Yeah, although I think we're seeing some movement in the other direction. There's a lot of interest in organizations like Slow Foods and so on, in quality rather than quantity.
Right.
certainly there have been a lot of, not just in poultry, but in livestock in general, a lot of the old breeds have really dropped off in numbers and that sort of thing. But, for instance, in a home flock, the commercial layers are not necessarily the best. They're often flighty. Even relatively modern breeds, but now called heritage because they've been replaced by modern hybrids, are not necessarily as good for a home flock as the old historic types. Breeds like Dorkings and even Games were developed at a time when people were kind of living intimately with their chickens, and they wouldn't put up with a rooster that would flop them. Or some of the later breeds, it was all about production and not about compatibility with the family that was caring for them.
Right, right.
And I know that even in produce, there are moves back to, you see heirloom tomatoes and heirloom squash in stores. So it makes sense that people are now paying attention to where their poultry is coming from and what it tastes like, as well as, you know, how cheap or how expensive it is.
Yeah, and everybody's after the eggs that way, too. You know, I noticed that here.
Exactly. And produce is a good example. For 50 or 60 years, we've been selecting tomatoes that have very little taste, but ship very well.
Right.
And the same thing has happened with livestock, particularly poultry.
Yeah, and I noticed that with the eggs.
Something that can be mass-produced and look good in a wrapper, but very little concern about taste. Most commercial poultry today is veal product. Joe and I were talking earlier today. He raises his poultry out to 10 weeks, but most of commercial poultry is cropped at 8 weeks or sooner. It does not have the old traditional chicken flavor.
Where they say 49 days. 49 days you can get a meat chicken now from hatching.
Even cheaper than that, even quicker than that. For instance, the specialty products like the Cornish game hens, which no longer are Cornish game hens, they're young corn rock crosses killed at 4 weeks of age.
Wow.
They do not have a traditional chicken flavor. I would say that a lot of the consumers today have never tasted real chicken or real turkey. It's all very young, not very flavorful.
And I hear that all the time. When I raise my turkeys, people tell me, what a difference in a free-range raised turkey that's been fed vegetables and pure grain. They can taste the difference from the frozen supermarket turkeys. I hear that
exactly.
All the time.
And the eggs are a wonderful example.
Yes.
Eggs that come from hens that have been eating greens and even whole grains. Have an altogether different texture, taste, and color. I mean, the keratin.
And they tell me that with the yolks, too. The yolks are so much brighter, so much orange, and they taste so much fresher. I hear that. I get calls here weekly on that all the time.
You know, as a child, I would call the difference between between a store egg and a real egg that we got from, you know, Aunt Shirley's chickens or Grandpa's or Pepe across the street's field, you know, and it's the same with tomatoes. It's the same with eggs. You know, gentlemen, we are almost out of time for this segment, but I know we have so much more to talk about, folks. Mm-hmm. So stick with us. We will be right back with more Country Joe's Chicken Show and All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and we are talking with Craig Russell of the Society for the Preservation of Poultry Antiquities about the difference between the eggs and the chickens of the big commercial breeds now and the older breeds of chickens.
And it's in the feed too, right, Craig? I mean, you know, it's what you feed them. Because I know I go for the all-natural grain and the fresh vegetables, which makes a huge difference in the eggs and the chickens. And the commercial chickens are just fed commercial grain with a lot of antibiotics and the whole nine yards. that's the difference right there that I can detect.
Hey, strain cross white leghorn or one of the sex links that produce most of the commercial brown eggs, and you raise her the way that your grandparents raised chickens, she'll produce an egg that has the qualities that those chickens produced. But there are differences in the eggs of various breeds, both in size and texture. When I was with the Carolina Heritage Poultry Association, I was amazed that a lot of the people claimed that the Australorp produced the best tasting eggs. Now, I'd raised Australorps, liked the eggs, but did not consider them noticeably different from other breeds when in a range situation. Yet there are differences in size, not only color of the shell, but color of the yolk and that sort of thing, that are genetic.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if, as with heirloom tomatoes and other heirloom vegetables, we'll start to see it being trendy, hopefully, with, you know, hot top-line chefs that they want not only locally produced eggs, but eggs from certain, you know, that have been fed, like Jack
gourmet
feeds his.
Gourmet breeds.
Yeah, gourmet mm-hmm. breeds.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I noticed
I think
that. We're already
seeing
that. Now, there are some differences. When I was younger, I ran an egg route, and many of the people I dealt with were people who had left the farm, retired, this sort of thing. And when I sold market poultry to them around the holidays, I was primarily selling them roasting chickens or ducks or geese or turkeys or guinea fowl. But today, poultry is used in many, many ways that traditionally, you know, fried chicken and roasted chicken are wonderful, but it can be used in many other ways, and we're seeing that. And I think some of the things translate differently.
Mm-hmm. Especially in the taste. Boy, I can, you know, like I say, it's just, I wouldn't eat anything now that I didn't grill myself, because I can really taste the difference in the commercial to mine. Yeah, maybe that's...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like I say, my turkeys are the same way, my eggs. You know, when we started the farmer's market down here, I just couldn't believe the amount of eggs. And like I say, I'm well over 100 dozen a week now easily that I'm selling, that people just come specifically to get these eggs because they know where they're coming from. And it's growing and growing. I just added on another 150 chickens just for eggs, because I can see the market just keeps getting more. I keep selling out every week. So,
right. Well,
I mean,
they sell themselves.
Yes.
The quality will tell if it comes down to that. Now, this is not just about quality. It's about eye appeal and that sort of thing. But when I was running my egg route, I found that children did not like eggs, even though I thought the taste was very similar, not very different at all. If they didn't like my white eggs or my brown eggs, they often loved my aqua green eggs.
And it's funny today, you know, like I say, I can go to a farmer's market and people won't touch the white eggs. They only want the brown eggs. And I don't quite understand that. I don't know. Do you?
Well, it's a market bias that's based on basically nothing other than the memory of, well, Grandpa had Rhode Island Reds or Australorps or Barred Rocks. Or Dominique's, and they laid a brown egg, and those eggs were better.
I may be a generation younger than you guys, because I remember when I was a child, there was a whole ad campaign that was brown eggs or local eggs, and local eggs are fresh. So, you know, that played into everybody's minds. It obviously was effective if all these years later people are still saying, brown ones, please.
Yeah.
Yes.
They do.
Exactly. You are exactly right. And also, prior to the Second World War, most eggs came from small family flocks. Most of them were brown. And it wasn't that the Leghorns, and at that time, Anconas and Minorcas, even Hamburgs, laid an inferior egg. Mm-hmm. It's just that since that time, the commercial eggs, which tend to be pale and not quite as upright when the egg is cracked, the yolk doesn't stand as high, doesn't have the flavor imparted by a fresh diet, is the eggs that people have eaten, and they think the comparison doesn't do well. But if you have a Minorca or a Leghorn under the conditions that the Dominique or the Rock were kept under, the eggs would taste pretty much the same.
Uh-huh. Wow, that's interesting. And getting back to joining the society here, Craig, a lot of people that are getting into chickens now, I like to say, why not look at the rare breeds of chicken as pets,
right,
and egg layers?
You can help. You know? Save our heritage.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a fascination with the very old breeds, but they're part of our culture, and some of them are just flat out beautiful.
They are.
We tend not to think about chickens as works of art, but they are, in fact, just that. I suspect that many of the old breeds are so beautiful and come in so many beautiful colors because traditionally poultry was woman's work. And
that's right.
They had
an
eye for beauty.
We all know that. You know, folks, if you want to call in, we're almost out of time for this segment, but the number to call in, any listeners, is 888-429-5471. If you want to weigh in on what you think about the eggs in your market or the eggs you remember from your childhood, you're listening to All Paws Pet Talk, Country Joe's Chicken Show.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
I'm a green chicken.
Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. You know, if you want to listen to the show anytime, 24 hours a day, it is on WPETTalkRadio.com. So WPETTalkRadio.com is our stream. And, of course, our own website is AllPaws, P-A-W-S, PetTalk.com. Now, we were talking about, with Craig Russell of the SPPA, about people getting interested in chickens
and how
maybe wanting to be part of that and why pick an old breed of chicken.
Yeah, Craig, tell us how we can get in into the club.
Well, I could let you do that, Joe, since you're a member in good standing. But if you would like to help us save the old breeds of poultry, not just chickens, but ducks, geese, turkeys, guinea fowl, contact Dr. Charles Everett. He's our secretary treasurer, and he's at 1057 Nick Watts, and that's NickWatts Road in Lugoff, Lugoff, South Carolina, 29078. A membership is $15 a year or 2 years for $25. That gets you 4 newsletters a year, 4 bulletins. And every 2 years, you get a breeder's directory, which will let you find almost anything in the poultry world. We would love to have you. We need your help to save this part of our agricultural heritage.
Yeah, and how many rare or unusual chickens would you guess there is, Craig, different breeds right now that
well,
are considered
rare or unusual?
Well, it depends
whether you're talking about breeds or varieties. So there are hundreds and hundreds of varieties. Although there are only 5 colors or varieties of Dorkings, one of the oldest breeds in the Western world, in the APA standard, historically, there were more than 50. And, many of those have disappeared, but there are still a couple of dozen. So some breeds like Leghorns, Dorkings, Games have many, many varieties even today. Others like Rhode Island Reds have only a couple, Rose Combs and Single Combs. And, of course, the very closely related Rhode Island Whites. But and New Hampshire Reds have one variety. Delaware's one variety. Many of those are 20th century chickens. Some, like the Delaware, are mid-20th century chickens. And even though the SPPA was set up for the old breeds, we find ourselves working hard to save some of the newer breeds because even though at one time the major meat bird in the markets of North America was the Indian River, which was a Delaware, New Hampshire Red Cross, today the Delaware is very rare, although it seems to be coming back because people do want some of the quality rather than just quantity.
Yeah, because I haven't even seen any of those around here. So they must be pretty hard to get, I would guess.
Somebody there because I'm not hearing much at this point. Okay, I'll hear you, Joe.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, anybody, if you have any questions and you want to call in, again, the number is 888-429-5471. That's a toll-free number. But also, if you want to write, if you are driving in your car while you're listening to this and were not able to write down Dr. Everett's information to join the SPPA or to inquire about it, you can always go to the allpawspettalk.com homepage, and there's a form right there on the page. So I just wanted to get that out of the way so that people can, if they can't call
Thank
in right
you
now,
much.
You know, you shouldn't be on the phone while you're driving. You have a hands-free device. You know, you can always, 24 hours a day, the website is there, and you can always ask questions and get back to them. Now, Mr. Russell, you say that people, if you're even just starting out in chickens, there are rare breeds that you can help keep the breed alive?
Well, that's true. Whether you're breeding yourself, and there are going to be people who want to keep chickens but aren't going to be in a situation where they can breed chickens because some municipalities allow chickens but do not allow roosters and this sort of thing, by buying either from a hatchery or even a specialty breeder, they are promoting the breed they're buying. And many people, they think, I want to breed chickens, but they don't know what they want to breed. So maybe they start out with half a dozen or even a dozen breeds and varieties to see what they like best. And even that kind of a purchase promotes interest in the different breeds and helps keep them going. Once again, just because they've been raised to be compatible with people, many of the very old breeds like Dorkings, Games, the Orientals, some of the Asiatics are, well, they're easy to get along with. They're not terribly flighty. They tame well, and they're not man fighters.
And so, they're just pets. They turn right into pets,
right?
A lot
of things to choose from.
Right, and there are people now who are getting into having a few chickens in the city, you know, in a backyard coop. And so you don't want a big flighty bird that you're going to worry about escaping your area, or a bird that's not going to get along with the neighbor's children who might come to the fence.
Yeah, that's
very
true.
Very good examples. And yet I think that flocks like that can help not just the owner but the neighbors reconnect with kind of our agricultural heritage. I did zoo work for 12 years, and I used to give programs where I found that there were children in very good neighborhoods, very good schools, who didn't realize that their meat and eggs came from birds and animals. They thought that they came from a factory.
That's true.
We really have lost connection with our roots and our background.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you have a chicken in your yard that, you know, I learned this with my rabbit. All the children in the neighborhood get to know your house.
Yep.
And so they would come to see my rabbit. And I know as a child, I would go across to see Pepe's chickens because I thought they were fascinating. And, you know.
Absolutely. I have the same thing here on the Hill. People stop to see the chickens and the turkeys and the geese. And there are people that tell me that their children insist that they go Jones Hill Road between Middleburg and Freeburg so they can see the geese on the pond.
Ah, that's true. That's true. I get a lot of people that come up here just to see the chickens, bring their kids, you know, and let them pick the eggs out of the nest. You know, that's always the big thing over here. And that's very true. And I get kids and families that come up here all the time to buy their eggs, and they always want to go out to the chicken house and see the turkeys
and
the chickens.
Look at the chickens, absolutely. Yep.
Well, gentlemen, we are out of time for this segment, but we have so much more to talk about, whether neighbors or our neighborhood children will get to know you because of your chickens. We'll find out more. We'll be right back with more Alpaw's Pet Talk Country Joe's Chicken Show.
Now you can walk and exercise your pet no matter what your condition using the Bike Toe Leash. There is nothing like the Bike Toe Leash. It easily attaches to bicycles, electric scooters, and other mobility equipment. It acts like an extra left arm to communicate and to control your pet in the healing position. You can install it in minutes. The Bike Toe Leash is recommended by trainers and used by owners and working dog handlers of all kinds. So now you can get out and have fun and exercise your pet very safely. Go to our website, www.allpawspettalk.com, and go to the sponsor page and hit the Bike Toe Leash banner, or call toll-free 857-245-3364. That number once again,
toll free, 857-245-3364.
Rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk. And no, Joe, you are not allowed to spend the next 30 seconds making chicken noises to go with the music.
Okay, then I won't. And the other thing besides chickens is I'm starting to get a fascination for these rare turkeys. Craig, we were talked about some of the rare turkeys, like the chocolate turkeys.
Right, which aren't made from chocolate, but are chocolate colored.
Chocolate
and
color.
This is a turkey that was once one of the more common turkeys in the South prior to the Civil War, and I think Joe has just discovered it in the last few days.
I have. And you were telling me that how the personalities of these turkeys are is so much, you know, you make friends with them and they have a personality, and it's...
They absolutely do, and the chocolate turkey, although still rare... 15 years ago, it was almost extinct, and one of the SPPA members, Paula Johnson from New Mexico, did extensive work to reinvigorate the variety with strength and quality, and now they're being offered by a number of hatcheries around the country, and people are getting back that once common and then nearly extinct, a beautiful bird.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I'm making coop room now. I'm going to build a coop because I'm going to get that. And there's a couple other really rare turkeys I'm looking for. The slate turkey.
Right.
I mean, there's breeds of turkeys here that I've never heard of. You know,
as I was talking about the Dorkings, the same with the turkeys. Well, the buff turkey wasn't our standard and then was dropped. Not quite as rare as the chocolate was, but still quite rare. But there are many turkeys that have never been accepted by either the American Poultry Association or some of the European associations, but calicos, blue palms, and others have fairly long histories, but... Are not really accepted by any of the organizations other than the SPPA who would like to save them as part of our heritage. Interestingly enough, unlike chickens, which originally are from Asia, and ducks that are worldwide but were originally domesticated in Europe and Asia, the turkey is a Native American. In fact, most of the varieties, although they maybe were named or established in Europe or here in the U.S., most of the turkeys actually were developed in pre-Columbian times. Columbus and other Spanish explorers took turkeys back to the Old World, although perhaps the Vikings beat them to that because there is a church in Norway that has paintings of turkeys that they believe date to 1280.
Wow. That's interesting. Yeah,
what people may not know is that the turkey is such an American bird that Benjamin Franklin proposed that instead of the bald eagle. He got
symbol.
Overruled, but we almost had the turkey as our national bird. That's how important it is to the American culture.
It is.
Right.
And most people think of the turkey as just like a bronze
the
turkey.
The wild turkey shared its genes with the domestic turkeys that settlers brought back from Europe, and that led to the bronze, which is perhaps the most famous turkey. It's the one you see in pictures around Thanksgiving time and that kind of thing. Even though, like the broiler chickens, most of our turkeys today are killed at a very young age, they've been selected to grow rapidly, quickly, and like the chickens, they're kind of raised under concentration camp conditions. Not quite like we think of traditionally, and they don't have the traditional flavor of an adult turkey.
That's true. And that's why when I raise my turkeys, they're free-range turkeys, you know. And everybody, again, wants the broad-breasted white turkey. That seems to be the turkey of choice now, at least down here. Because I raised the bronze turkey, and everybody said, gee, you don't have the white turkey? So, you know, I went to raising the white turkey.
Well,
so, I mean, you know, it's,
I think there are certainly a lot of people who are used to the white turkey because it's easy to dress and so on.
And it is.
But I've certainly, over the years, developed markets for Narragansetts and bronze and the buffs and the reds. There are people who remember them from their youth, and because they don't grow as quickly as the modern commercial broad-breasted white turkey, the flavor is more like real turkey, and there are people who like that also.
Mm-hmm. Well, the broad-breasted white will grow to 50 pounds in under a year.
So will the broad bronze, although the standard bronze seldom gets over 35, which is still a very big animal.
Well, I did the broad-breasted whites this year, and some of them that I processed for the holidays, I just did some for New Year's, and my biggest one was 32 pounds, and I was having a fit there, you know, thinking, my God, how am I going to get
this? It was probably quite young.
Yes, it was. Matter of fact, they were hatched July 17th.
Mm-hmm.
So to give you an idea, from July 17th until right around Christmas, New Year's, that turkey had grown to 32 pounds. And this was free range. Now, and I can imagine, you know, if I would have forced the issue, I could have got them up higher. But, you know, I was trying to
sure
hold back.
You could have. a friend of mine who got some turkeys some years ago, he got them in the spring and had them dressed for Christmas, couldn't get them into his oven.
that's what I was afraid of.
He ended up having to have them sawed in half so he could cook them.
That's amazing, I'm telling you. But then I look at these other turkeys. I mean, you know, you're lucky to get them up. I was looking at the miniature whites, the midget whites, you know, where
right.
The toms will reach 20 pounds.
The midget white actually is part of the commercial today. We just kill the broad-breasted whites at a younger age.
Uh-huh.
The midget white was designed as a smaller turkey for the market for smaller families and that sort of thing. But with the broad breast of the broad white, you get that finished look on a much younger bird, and so they were turkeys that were developed in the 40s and 50s, and by the 60s, they were obsolete.
Wow, that is just amazing. You know, the history, short history of turkeys, that's what I call it. It's just amazing, the different breeds of turkeys. Turkeys I never heard of, like the black turkey. I mean,
right.
You know.
Often called black Spanish because they were very popular in Spain. And although they weren't called French chocolates, the chocolate was traditionally very popular in France.
Wow.
And probably that's why it became so common in the South, because the southern states did a lot of business with Britain and France.
Oh, that's how that came around, huh?
I suspect.
So did those turkeys, they didn't originate in the U.S., or did they?
Well, the chocolate turkey originated probably in Mexico, but became very common in France and made it to the U.S. from France rather than from Mexico.
Uh-huh.
So it was really a globe-trotting bird. Gentlemen, we are just about out of time for this segment. You know, folks, if you want to call in, the number to call in is 888-429-5471, and the website is allpaws, P-A-W-S, pettalk.com, and streaming online on WPETTalkRadio.com 24 hours a day. We'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show.
I'm hungry. great. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, I'm hungry, tastes great, I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait, I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great, I love food.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Now, we were just talking about different breeds and varieties of turkeys and of chickens. We have with us Craig Russell of the Society for the Preservation of Poultry Antiquities. And so if people wanted to raise poultry in their yard, you know, how big of a plot do you have to have to have chickens as opposed to turkeys, as opposed to guinea fowls? And where does one start figuring out what they can have?
Well,
I was going to let Joe go with that, but it depends on how many they want to have and what they're doing. If they're just buying and raising a few, they don't need a whole lot of room. If they want a self-sustaining flock, one of the terms that we hear probably too much of, and it's sort of misused and overused, is sustainability. But one of the things the SPPA is about is sustainability. We're promoting the old breeds that lend themselves to reproducing naturally in a small flock environment. Someone with an acre who could take a little section for a yard and a small building to house a couple of roosters, maybe 10 or 20 hens, can have a self-sustaining flock. You don't need huge areas. Now, ideally, guinea fowl like to roam, but you can maintain them in a covered, secure pen, also in a very small area. One thing about guinea fowl, they're often considered a gourmet bird, and their eggs are considered, although they're small, considered among the best flavored of all eggs. So they're kind of interesting, they're unique, they're not probably going to be as friendly as a turkey or the average chicken, but
and they're not going to work out in an urban neighborhood because they are so loud.
That kind of stuff. But what I was going to say is they developed in a dry area. So if you're going to let guinea fowl raise their own young, you probably want to keep them confined until those young have developed feathers, unless you live in a dry region, and then the parents will raise their young very well.
Mm-hmm. But but they are noisy. I'll tell you, my neighbor has them, and you can hear them for I swear a half a mile. You know,
she
has a flock.
Peafowl also
are loud.
Yes.
But I think in the urban situations, you know, in the city, the hens, you know, obviously no roosters. I've never heard of anybody wanting to raise a turkey in an urban situation, but the chickens are the hens.
I have heard of turkeys in Baltimore, Maryland.
Wow. Now that's unusual.
Well, the people who had them said that they were quieter than chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And the eggs were larger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, the, now, well, the gobblers gobbled. Yeah.
We
yeah,
had but, wild turkeys up. I live in the Boston area, in just one town out from Boston, and we had wild turkeys in the yard in the neighborhood. And I can tell you, they can be loud enough to wake me up in the spring. We had a male out there who was really trying to woo me with everything he had, and I kept trying to explain that I was the wrong species. I might be the right gender, but yelling outside my bedroom window at 5 o'clock in the morning was not going to win him friends.
No, but, probably not.
Uh-huh.
And are there different chickens? Would the SPPA have recommendations for different chickens for different parts of the country, if you're in California or Florida or Boston or Minnesota?
Absolutely. For instance, the old sustainable breeds include the Orientals. However, if you live in the far north, the Orientals don't do well in that environment. But in warmer areas, they're excellent chickens for free ranging and that kind of thing. They get very large, at least some of them do. Some are more moderate sized, but they're not chickens for cold weather. A breed that was developed in Canada, the Chanticleer, has, like many of the Orientals, a small comb, but it has more down. In other words, it can maintain its body heat better, and it's a chicken. The comb won't freeze. Wyandottes, although their combs are bigger than Chanticleers, their rose combs, rather compact, don't have a long leader on the back. Another breed that is not too much affected by extreme cold. So there are breeds that are good for cold areas, breeds that are good for warm areas, and a lot of the chickens would like to avoid both extreme heat and extreme cold.
Uh-huh. Now, I noticed the Silkies now seem to be the chicken of choice for pets. Down here, I noticed that a lot of the chicken meats, everybody's after these Silkies because they look like fur, like little teddy bears. That seems to be a real big seller down here right now. I don't know if it's all over the country, but, you know.
Well, I think Silkies have always been popular as pets.
Mm-hmm.
They are, by the way, very good mothers. But one of the things about Silkies is that they're beautiful, but unlike most chickens, they don't have the covering over their down. Their mm-hmm. feathers are all almost down-like, and so they don't do well when exposed to the weather. A Silkie doesn't do well in a driving rainstorm or a snowstorm, which many chickens could do very well with.
Well, that explains why, you know, my husband and I do a website called petoftheday.com, and I would say proportion-wise, we don't often get chickens nominated for Pet of the Day, but of the ones we've had nominated, more of them were Silkies than any other kind, and I think that may be because, like you said, they're not chickens you want to be out in the yard, and they probably don't want to be out in the yard, so they'll be friendly and nice, and they will be lap chickens if you let them.
Yeah, and they
well,
do. People
actually,
carry them
they
around.
Want to be out in the yard, know? But they want to be inside when the weather gets bad.
But I noticed that at the last chicken meet we went to, a lady had probably two dozen, and I couldn't believe that was the first group of chickens that went. Bang, they were gone. I mean, everybody but wanted the white Silkies. You know, for some reason, the white Silkies looked so cuddly, and the kids were cuddling them and the whole thing. And, I mean, this lady was just selling these things. She couldn't sell enough. They were gone. And I think that's the pet of choice for chickens. I really believe it now.
Yeah, and Silkies do, by the way, although the whites are probably the most popular, they come in many other colors. The blacks are also pretty popular in many cases. And when I was talking about the Silkies as a mother breed, they were often used to raise game birds and other breeds of chickens because They love to go broody. They make good, attentive mothers, although they're not as protective of their young or don't have the ability to protect their young the way a Dorking or a Game or an Oriental might. They're just excellent mothers, and that made me think of something I should have said earlier. Guinea fowl and geese, unlike turkeys and chickens, are parents, not just mothers. Mm-hmm. The guinea rooster helps brood the young and protect them, and geese are the same way. The gander will help raise the young. Ducks, chickens, turkeys, it's just the mother. The males want no part of the young, but guinea fowl and geese are parents, not just mothers.
That's interesting.
Well, you know, gentlemen, we are out of time. Folks, you've been listening to Country Joe's.
Well, it's certainly been a pleasure, and I want to thank you folks for having me on the first live Country Joe's Chicken Show. Thanks again.
And it won't be the last, Craig. You'll be on plenty.
That's okay, right. Thank you very much.
Folks, it's on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, allpawspettalk.com, and we'll be back next time with more. So be nice to your chickens and yourself.
I'm a